Thank you, brother, for that song selection tonight. Thank you for being in our assembly to worship God with us this evening. For this evening's lesson, I would like to direct your attention to a passage in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 63, verses 7 and 8. One of the most comforting, I think, of the Psalms in terms of my personal relationship with God, your personal relationship with God. I'd like to read you from Psalm 63, verses 7 and 8. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. This is a psalm of David. In verse 7, memories that David had of God's deliverance and his care really just flood his mind to the point that he has to write this down, and he has to make a song about it to sing and praise his God. God has protected him. God has preserved him. God has helped him. He thinks of how his life has been lived under the shadow of God's wings, and he sings for joy about what God has meant to him. In verse 8, he's determined to know that there is not a thing that will interfere with his relationship with God. His total being, his soul or life is attached to and is clinging to God as two pieces of wood might be joined together by a dovetail and glued together and so that they will stay in that position. His mind and body are committed to pursuing God. And God has upheld David with his power. He has upheld David and sustained David in his life, regardless of what came to his life. He defended him in danger. He kept him from the power of his enemies. He preserved David in every way. Why should David not be overflowing with gratitude and great joy for his helper, God? Well, one might say, that's well and good about David, but what about me? I'm not David, but I need help from God today. Will God help me as he helped David? You know, if you've been in a bookstore recently and browsed around through the different sections, you may have noticed a rather large section of books in the self-help section. There are a lot of how-to books, tens of thousands, too numerous to think about all of the titles that are available and all of the books that have been written to help us in one area or another in our lives. But what happens if you browse around in that section in the bookstore and you can't find a how-to book that teaches you exactly what you need in your situation and where you need help? Where do you look? Where do you turn? What do you do when you want to know how to get your children to live right? How to make your spouse cherish you? What do you do? What do you do if you want to know how to survive the death of a loved one or some other tragedy or trial that has come your way in life? Do you seek the self-help books in the library or in the bookstore? What do you do when how-to books don't bring you the answer that you're looking for in your situation? God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 46 and verse 1. A very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. God is our refuge and strength. We must learn to turn to the Lord in the midst of our difficulties. We must learn to turn to the Lord when we're not plagued with trials and difficulties in this life. But things seem to be going well for us. God is still our helper, isn't he? But when trouble hits and you need calmness, about the fears of life and the fears of what might happen and the fears of bad things that may come your way. With help from God, you can get through even the toughest challenges of life. God is our helper, and there is no solution that is too difficult for Him. There is no puzzling situation going on in our lives that's way too hard for God to handle and God to help us with. He is our present help. He's always there. He's always accessible. He is available. He is continually near. He is ready to provide the strength and the wisdom that we need. The believer leaves the time and the way and how God does it up to Him. We don't have to figure things out like that. We just have to trust that God will help us. When we appeal to Him to help us in life, He will indeed help us. He will provide what is needed. He is for us, even as parents are for their children. He is pulling for us. He's on our side. He's our greatest team member. He's our most avid cheerleader. God is our helper. He is with us. He stands beside us to help us in the fight of life, in the struggles and trials and difficulties and problems that Satan will throw our way. God is with us. You know, one of the names of the Son of God is Emmanuel. There's something in that name. You know what it means? It means God with us. God is there for me. So many children have grown up in life to be successful and humble servants of God and have testified. My parents were my prime motivator. My parents were the most important example for me in life to be what I am today and to have what I have today and be the kind of person that I am. My parents were always there for me. I've heard that many times from people who have grown up in difficult situations in life. And they made it through the trials and the difficulties because their parents were there. Always there for me. The importance of being there is indisputable. We can't argue with that. It's so very important. Children need a shoulder to cry on. They need a hand to hold. They need a heart to share. But let's take that another step. Parents who demonstrate this being there attitude show us on a very small scale what it's like for God, our Father, to be there for us as His children. And what a valuable lesson that is, I think. He literally is always there. The Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 13 and verse 5 and said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's our God. He doesn't leave us for something better or some other better person or some other less complicated situation of life. He's there for us all of the time and does not desert us. There's never a moment that you can't ask your Heavenly Father for help, and He will hear you and He will help you. There's not a trial that you can go through in this life that He is not willing to assist you with all of the way from beginning to end and all the way through it. He's always there for me. What do we do with that information? What do we do with that confidence that we have that God is always there for us? What can we do with that tonight? If we're impressed with that fact, the fact that David wrote a long time ago about God, you are my help. And I take refuge under the shadow of your wings, and there I will sing for joy because you're there to help me. You know, how do those sacred words written so many hundreds of years before, how can that help me now? In this life, in my present situation? That's a really good question, isn't it? How do we make that real for us? How do we look at a passage like this and embrace it so that it becomes our personal passage? You ever thought about something like that with regard to the Psalms? Maybe tonight we in our sermon use it as a prayer to God for His help, because we're confident that He will help us. We know that He hears us. We know that He answers us. And what sort of help do we need? And how do we appeal to God for help? I want to suggest to you some ways tonight. A little bit different than what we usually do, but something very valuable, I think, in view of our text, Psalm 63, verses 7 and 8. Lord, help me to love You more each day. That is a sentiment that I've heard in prayer many times, that I've prayed in prayer many times. God needs to help me to love Him more every day, because God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us, Paul wrote to the Romans and said that. And not only, Lord, help me love You more each day, but help me, Lord, to realize how much You love me. Matthew 6 and verse 30. God clothes the grass of the field. God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is thrown in the furnace. Will He not much more clothe you? The hairs of your head are all numbered. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground that he doesn't know. What about you and I, His valuable creatures? Lord, help me to love others with a sincere concern for their needs and interests, because I realize, Lord, that You have commanded me and You want me to be blessed by loving my neighbor as I love myself in Matthew 22:39. Little children, let us not love in word or with the tongue, but in deed and truth, 1 John 3 and verse 18. That's the way I want to love others. Not just by words out of my mouth, but by the actions, by the behavior of my life. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Lord, may I not look only to my personal interests, but may I look to the interests of others. Lord, help me be more devoted to my family and give them the spiritual guidance that I should, so that husbands will love their wives as they should, and wives will love their wives as their own bodies, as one loves himself. And fathers, not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to live that way. Help my children to see that in my life as they grow. Lord, help me to have a greater concern for the lost in the world. And please bless me with the courage that it takes to speak the truth to someone else, realizing that they may reject it in my face, and they may turn in anger against me. But help me to gently speak the Word of God to them, because I realize in Your Word that Your children are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, in Matthew 5 and verse 13. Lord, help me to be more devoted to my brothers and sisters in Christ, to watch more carefully for their trials of life and commit myself to be there for them, regardless of my struggles. Help me to understand Galatians 6 and verse 2, to bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help me, Father, to be devoted to one another, to brotherly love and preference for one another in honor. Lord, give me a greater confidence in Your Word, so I will live out, if You keep my commandments, You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. The words of my Savior, help me make those my words, Father. And help me to not be envious or discouraged when I see others turning from what the Scripture says, but help me to have a quiet resolution to abide in Your Word. Help me to overcome the difficulties necessary to do that. Help me to realize that I'm treading on dangerous ground when I go too far and do not abide in the doctrine of Christ? Help me to realize that you will not be with me when I leave your word, to the left hand, to the right hand, not going far enough or going too far. Give me the strength and the determination necessary to abide only in your word. Help me, Heavenly Father, to be more spiritually minded. Help me to set my affection on things above. Colossians 3 and verse 2. Help me to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Father, renew my mind every day. Let your word enter my heart and go there and produce fruit. Let me serve you according to your will. Let me be more spiritually minded. Help me, Heavenly Father, to resist temptations that Satan will throw my way. Help me to spot and see his traps. Be aware of his traps first, so that I will not foolishly take a step in that direction. Help me to better resist temptation. Let me love doing right. And give me a hatred for sin in every false way that is against your will. Let love be without hypocrisy. Help me abhor what is evil and cleave to that which is good in Romans 12 and verse 9. And Lord, I need more patience with other people. Help me to be patient with other people. When my family needs me or my brethren don't act like I want them to, help me to be patient. Help me to realize how patient you are, Heavenly Father, with me. And help me shed that patience abroad with other people so that I might be patient with them. For I realize that your word tells me love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous and does not brag and is not arrogant in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 4. Help me to not pass judgment on other people when I'm guilty of the same thing. Help me to be strong enough to correct that thing in my life that is amiss first before I go to someone else to help them correct their wrongs. In Romans 2, 3 through 5, help me to not have a stubborn and unrepentant heart, storing up wrath in the day of wrath. Help me to be righteous so that I might stand before you in judgment. Help me, Heavenly Father, when I have a hard time forgiving other people. There are some things in life that people will do to you that you can brush off fairly easily if you set your determination to do that. There are other things that people do to you in life that you have to struggle with. And it's like you have to hold your hand back to keep from punching someone in the nose who needs a punch in the nose, by the way. To wake them up. But there are times when we struggle to forgive other people. Lord, help me to forgive other people as you have forgiven me. Open my eyes that I can see how great my need for forgiveness is, so that I may be forgiving to other people. If you forgive others for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you, my Lord said. But if you do not forgive others, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. Help us as God's people to show forgiveness for others. Help us not to judge in a way that is unrighteous. Help us to judge righteous judgment, because we will be judged in that way. Help us not to mete out a judgment or condemnation to other people when we are guilty. You've been called for this purpose, Peter said in 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 21. Since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, and that's God. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. Help me, Lord, to take that into my heart and realize that and live it. Help me not to feel a sense of despair when I see the world growing more and more wicked and corrupt every day. Help me to be able to grieve when I see that the world is lost and take comfort in the fact that, God, you are in control of all things. And you are the great writer of every wrong. Help me to have faith in that. Help me to have peace. Help me to overcome the tribulation of the world as Jesus overcame the world. Help me to have the courage to do that. John 16 and verse 33. Help me, Lord, to realize that you are with me every moment. That you see everything I do. You hear everything I say. You know every thought I have. Help me to realize that. Because it will draw me closer to you. Help that awareness to change the way that I think and the way that I speak and the way that I act so it may conform perfectly to the example of your Son. Lord, I need you to help me do that. To observe all that you commanded. To make sure that my character is free from the love of money, being content with what I have. Realizing, Heavenly Father, that you will never desert me or forsake me. Let me realize, Heavenly Father, that any moment you could return in judgment, and my time and opportunity to make changes in my life will be gone forever, as will everyone else's. Help me to realize that you may come at any time. Please keep me from assuming that I have a lifespan of 85 or 90 years on this good earth. Help me not to think foolishly like that. Help me to realize that you could come tonight or tomorrow or at any time and help me to be ready when you do come, that I might stand before you. Peter said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and its works will be burned up. May we remember the words of John, I am coming quickly and my reward is with me, to render unto every man according to what he has done. Lord, help me to be ready when your Son comes again, that I will not be a recipient of your punishment, but I will be eternally overjoyed at the pleasant words, enter in, thou faithful servant. Help me to see, Lord, what I am is my own choice. Please keep me away from the idea and the concept and the practice of blaming others for everything bad that goes on in life. Help me not to blame others, Lord, for my shortcomings. Help me to bear my own load, as Galatians 6 and verse 5 teaches, so that each one of us will give an account of himself to God in Romans 14 and verse 12. We must all appear before the judgment seat of God to receive what we have done in the body, whether it's good or bad. Help me to realize that I am responsible for my own life. I need to realize that, Lord, because I live in a world where people around me continually blame others for everything that goes wrong. Lord, help me that that way of thinking will not rub off on me. Help me, Lord, to see the power of your word and that it can change me and transform me and make me into what you want me to be. Help me to realize that your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it is able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Help me to realize the great power of your word. Don't let me be misguided into thinking that someday you will magically make me into something that I've not lifted a finger to make myself into. Help me to realize my responsibility and to see that there's power in your word to transform me into something that is not in my present understanding or imagination, but something much greater. And it's in the direction of your Son. Help me to realize that your word shows me the way to make me adequate and equipped for every good work, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Help me to realize that it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Help me to realize that the words that Jesus spoke are Spirit and are life in John 6:63. And Lord, help me to seek heaven above everything that is on this earth. I need help here, Lord. Help me to realize the value of seeking heaven above the things on the earth. Help me to seek service in your kingdom, realizing this world is temporary. It's not really my home. It is the womb in which I live at the present time, and I'm going to be born into eternity. Help me to realize that, Lord, that I might not store up for myself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. Help me to store up treasures for myself in heaven where the moth doesn't touch it, rust doesn't touch it, corruption doesn't touch it. Thieves don't break through and steal. Help me to seek your kingdom first, Lord, in every phase of my life. Help me, as Paul wrote to Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, to not lose heart. Help me to be diligent, courageous, strong, not giving up, not losing heart, even though our outward man decays. Even though I may live long enough to become old and wrinkled and feeble and not be able to walk and not be able to enjoy the things that I once did. Help me, Lord, to keep faith in you and not lose heart, realizing that it is the inner man that is more important than the outer man, and that the inner man is renewed day by day. And it produces for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. While we look at the things which are seen in 2 Corinthians 4, we look at these things, but help me, Lord, to look at the things which are not seen. Not setting my affection on temporal things, but on eternal things. Help me to realize that this earthly tent in which I live is torn down, and that we will receive as believers a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Help me to groan and long for to be clothed with that dwelling from on high. Help that to be my desire, Lord. Do you realize the sentiments now of our text? Not only help me when things go wrong in life, but help me when things are going good. And help me to take my joy in God. There is not a sphere of life that exists that we can't go to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, I need some help here. Please help me. And He will. He will. Life for the Christian is certainly a privilege, certainly a blessing, even though it is a pursuit. Even though we chase after it. We long for it. We want to go in that direction. We've come to know the reality of living with God as our helping Father, and we intensely desire a more meaningful relationship with Him because it's attainable. His Word is for living people on this earth. It's for us to use and benefit from greatly, and we can. Everyone in this room certainly appreciates everything that God has done for each one of us. We certainly do, without question. We are in the shadow of His wing. We praise Him and sing for joy because of the great way that God has blessed us. And truly, our souls cling to Him. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. What a fantastic thought that is. A good place to stop. If you're in our assembly tonight and God has not been your helper, fix it. Fix it today. Don't leave this building outside of Christ. That's the only way that God will look favorably enough on you to give you what you need so that you can make it through this veil of tears and into eternity with eternal joy for Him. That's the only way. We fall down on our knees begging you not to leave this place outside of Christ. Don't do it. Too many things happen in life for which you need some help. And I'm talking about real, powerful, divine help. Don't leave here in a condition that will not avail that for you. What a great blessing we have in God our Father. Let God be your Father. Let Him into your life. Serve Him. Worship Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Every day of your life. And you will live the best life that's possible for you to live on this earth. And what joy awaits in eternity. Can we help you? Can we encourage you to do that? Please, if we can, come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song. Number 284.